Hi, you have reached the podcast of Professor Chaim Shor. In this episode, Punishment versus Guidance, explaining adverse outcome of well-intentioned behavior.
Punishment versus Guidance, explaining adverse outcome of well-intentioned behavior. Why bad things happen to good people is an age-old mystery. It has plagued humankind for millennia. Comparing and understanding the two principal explanations, the punishment principle and the guidance principle, may be key to better understanding of adverse outcome for well-intentioned behavior. Perhaps the ultimate source to address this issue is the biblical book of Job, not coincidentally attributed to Moses, see following paragraph. Jewish prophets, like Jeremiah, also turned their attention to the seemingly lack of justice that befalls good people, and had grumbled this sentiment to the divine. We attempt in this podcast a possible solution, with a simple example. Naturally, the solution offered is not scientific. Probably it is also not entirely original. Yet, it is presented in this podcast as an article of faith, which I believe is supported by my life-long personal experience. Moses, wondering how God leads the world, asks, "I pray thee, show me thy glory," Exodus 33 verse 18. Part of the detailed response is, "I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy," Exodus 33 verse 19. This response is made more explicit in God's response to King David. After the king has expressed wish to build a temple, God's response, via prophet Nathan, "I will raise up your offspring to succeed you. He is the one who will build a house for my name. I will be a father to him, and he will be a son to me, who on perverting his ways, I would reproach, with the rod of man and such plagues as befall the sons of Adam," 2 Samuel 7:12-14. Using pervert as implying walking a twisted path, instead of a straight one, is further pronounced by Job. The latter uses the same Hebrew root as in the preceding quote. "I have sinned and perverted that which was straight, and it profited me not," Job 33 verse 27. Jeremiah, like Job, also cries out to God. "Righteous art thou, O Lord, that I would plead my case with thee. Yet, I will reason matters of justice with thee. Why does the way of the wicked prosper, at ease are all those dealing in treachery?" Jeremiah 12 verse 1. For people of faith, who have abandoned the anti-biblical credo that when randomness reigns, all is coincidental, for such people the ancient quagmire of why well-intentioned behavior may lead to adverse outcome may lead to one of two seemingly mutually exclusive explanations. Punishment versus guidance. The punishment interpretation, I believe, is a disruptive relic from our childhood. For some of us, the punishment-slash-reward belief system instilled in us in childhood has taken hold of our adult perception of reality and how we interpret unexplainable adverse personal experiences, internal, like physical pain or sickness, or external, via parents and teachers who administer a system of rewards and punishments. We are conditioned in childhood to defend ourselves against harm and seek gratifying experiences. The fundamental motto of childhood education is, good things happen to good children, and bad things happen to bad children. This system is active both in the child's experience of the physical world and the child's experience of the social world. It is hoped by agents of education that the reward/punishment system would instill in the educated child correct patterns of behavior that would spare the child harmful effects caused by violating law of nature, like falling from a high place, while concurrently leading to appropriate integration into the prevailing social system. Growing up, some grown-up, quote-unquote children, continue to believe that same reward/punishment system reigns supreme in all gray areas of our lives, such areas where we are helpless providing logical explanation for adverse outcomes, resulting from well-intentioned decisions and actions. People of faith then tend to resort to irrelevant past decisions or actions, explaining current adverse outcomes as belated divine punishment for those past events. The guidance principle, Hoshgaka Prudit, is an alternative explanatory principle. It claims that to understand why bad things happen to good people, one should look not to past irrelevant events, but rather to the present, and occasionally also to the future. What matters is not past decisions and actions. What matters is the final outcome of the, quote-unquote, bad experience. This outcome is invariably the best explanation for current unpleasant experiences. The road to destiny may not always be straightforward. It might be twisted, and it might take longer than expected. Perhaps even be painful. But it would eventually lead to destiny, embodied by the final outcome. What that outcome is may not always be immediately clear. It may at times require some deep personal investigation, sometimes even patience. But once the major outcome is clarified, a sense of relief and perhaps even internal joy may indicate to us that, indeed, guidance is there, available to us at all times. If we only properly attune our spiritual and practical antennas to receive the clues. There are three main reasons for why bad things happen to good people. Reason 1. Past bad choices that we have made. When straight roads were still open to us with, quote-unquote, shouting clues delivered to us to choose correctly or rightly. Yet, we have ignored those clues, opting to choose wrong, which perverted that which was straight, Job 33 verse 27. Reason 2. Straightforward paths to destination do not exist, irrespective of our past decisions. Occasionally, only twisted ways are available to reach destination. An example for this scenario will be given later. Reason 3. Divine scheme. This, at times, requires that what humanly seems humanly adverse needs to occur in the grand scheme of things. Yet it remains completely incomprehensible to us. Here are some biblical quotes. I will be whoever I will be, Exodus 3 verse 14. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, Exodus 33 verse 19. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Job 38 verse 4. For people of unshaken faith, the Holocaust is first and foremost in what may come to mind. The Bible, perhaps, declares its response to the Holocaust puzzlement in the following verse, Deuteronomy 29 verse 28. The hidden belong to Jehovah, our God. And the revealed are for us and for our offspring forever, that we may do all the words of this Torah. For those of us who believe that no reward/punishment system is active in the universe, that only guidance exists at all times, the ultimate principle is this. Look not into the past for choices that you have made, choices that may now seem to you deserving divine punishment. Instead, look into the present, and at times also into the future. Find out what ultimately transpired following bad experience. What was the major consequence and final outcome? Soon enough, you would learn to realize that this outcome is the best possible explanation. At times, the search for major outcome may be elusive. Or it may lie in the distant future. Yet, ultimately, you will find out, to your great surprise, that guidance is much more prevalent in your life than you could ever imagine or thought possible. Is there no punishment at all, according to Scripture? Of course not. Punishment recurs often both in the Torah and in reproaches for unrighteous conduct leveled at the Israelites by the biblical prophets. However, punishment is not contradictory to guidance. Rather, it is a particular mode by which guidance materializes. Here too, in order to fully comprehend what the destiny has been in the first place, an effort is required to search for the final outcome of the supposed punishment. In other words, punishment is realization of guidance, to be understood merely by observing end results, like improvement in character and in patterns of communicating with others, tikkun in Kabbalah parlance. Prophet Isaiah takes this position to its extreme. Isaiah 12 verse 1. On that day you shall say, I give thanks to thee, O Lord, for being angry with me. Your anger has turned away, and thou do comfort me. Looking back at actual major outcomes of life events to reveal guidance in action is clearly indicated in part of God's response to Moses' request, Exodus 33 verse 18. I pray thee, show me your glory. God's response, I will make all my goodness pass before you. You cannot see my face, for no human being would see my face and lived. I will put you in a cleft of the rock, and will cover you with my hand, while I pass by. And I will take my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Exodus 33 verses 19 to 23. The principle of looking back at what ultimately transpired could not more clearly be pronounced. Pain and sorrow, bad things, are invariably intermediate results preceding the ultimate, final and major outcome delivered by guidance. And that major outcome is always good. Let me deliver a simple example that may be perceived as an allegory to larger events. It is based on a real event that I have recently personally experienced. I call this example, Alas, at last, a parking space. Some weeks ago, Ruth and I were driving in the city of Haifa towards a certain restaurant. A bad experience then unexpectedly befell me. I missed a turn. Annoyed and frustrated, I had to drive some extra miles until I was able to return back to the missed turn. I have finally arrived at the restaurant to find out that there were no available parking spaces around. Worse still, in that area where parking was possible, no car waiting spaces were available at all times. This meant that if a parking space not becoming available right on arrival, your chance to find parking space was extremely slim. We left the place heading home when I had decided to give it another trial. Back near the restaurant, at the exact moment of arrival, a single parking space suddenly became available. Timing is all. It immediately dawned on me that had the bad experience of missing the turn, not occurred, the final major outcome, available parking space exactly on arrival, could not have taken place. An article of faith? Obviously. But to a degree, also, statistically evidence-based. To my family and close friends, who have traveled with me in my car, finding parking space, where none seems possibly available, has become a highly esteemed expertise of mine. Particularly, given absence of any prior training. What is the allegory? A long way, possibly loaded with intolerable delays, may at times be required to arrive at the right timing to the desired outcome of guidance. The guidance principle, namely, looking at final results in order to understand the driving force, may well be applied responding to the eternal question. Why do we live? To comprehend the purpose of life, one needs only look around and learn what has transpired during our own lifetime. That which one observes is that for which one lives. Connecting to reality, directly observable or otherwise. Experiencing reality, learning from it, and passing on the learned lessons to others. Associating with fellow human beings and with other living beings, communicating with them, assisting them to fulfill their own life destiny. Loving and being loved. And to top it all, we are here to constantly make decisions out of free will, available to us, whether we are completely free or otherwise. All these, taken together, constitute the ultimate destiny of life. Learn. Develop. And with the power of love, overcome our inherent separatedness.
Thank you for listening. Until the next episode, goodbye.